the best.
That's terrible. Yes, remember, as a public service announcement, if you didn't already hear it, don't forget, over the next few weeks, in order to make things correct, at least in your own eyes, don't forget to set your scales back at least 15 pounds. At least then you won't look like you gained any weight. Hey, I ain't gained a bit of pounds. I ain't like a horse. I don't weigh like one. All right. So now, yeah, there was more to it. There we go. Simple steps to Thanksgiving. Not going to keep you long, I don't think. All right. Simple steps to Thanksgiving. Get your Bibles out and turn to Luke. Luke chapter 17. This is a very powerful, powerful message, and it teaches us a lot. Luke 17. Luke 17. We're going to hinge on a lot of words in this. I've never really preached on this scripture like I'm going to preach on it today. Today is so different. I have noticed that one of the problems in our world today, and it's a biggie, is people have lost the ability to be kind and to be thankful. I can't believe what I'm seeing happening right before us. But in order for the Antichrist to get a foothold, we have to learn, or people are going to have to be unkind, and they're going to have to be unthankful in order for the Antichrist to get a foothold. And that is what's happening around us. I saw a survey today that said that Christianity is dying quickly among 30-year-olds and below. Dying quickly. Especially with women, that said it's dying quickly and that it needs to be rescued. Well, we know the rescue. But what's happening is, we're going to talk about it in just a minute. Why is everything seeming to get this way? And so we're going to read the scripture right here. Stand for the reading of the word. Luke 17, verse 11. This is the last time you're going to have to stand until the next time you've got to stand. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Remember, a good Jew did not go to Samaria. So now, here's Jesus, but he's not only going through Samaria, he's going through Galilee. He's going in between. He's really doing something very special, because now he is getting ready to pick up people from both sides. He's just going to be awesome what he does. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. And they lifted their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when she saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch. And anointing, Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, and you know that you are on the throne. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way. Lord, I know, God, this is the Thanksgiving season, and I know that a lot of things are happening around us, because it's not only Thanksgiving season, it's a season of war, and it's a season of confusion, and it's a season when the world is being seized by the Antichrist spirit. And I ask you right now, Lord, to minister in the name of Jesus, we pray. That nothing be said to strife or vain glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, "You're looking good to have eaten so much." I have decided to identify as skinny, so I'm a trans slender.
Donner rhymes with Connor.
said, haven't you ever heard of the Donner Party? She says, where's that? I haven't noticed any notices about it. I said, no, the Donner Party on the Oregon Trail. And they went, she went, huh? I said, never mind. And then she said, can you put your, she said, I told her some other things. She says, I can't remember that. So I wrote it in cursive and I handed it to her. She says, I can't read that.
No way.
Can't remember
that. I
know. Oh, yeah,
good. But she said, I don't know how to read cursive. This little lady is part of an owner on this truck, and she's outside taking orders and couldn't read cursive. She didn't know anything about history. And she said, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to live over my head today. And just, I got in the car and I told myself, I cannot believe what I'm hearing, and this is our new generation, the ones that are coming up after us, is scary. And so I don't want to get way on that today, so I'm going to keep on going. Don't say, keep on going, Pastor. Keep on going. Don't stop there. All right. Not only is this generation not learning history, which is not learning spiritual history, and they're not learning our national history. He's my step-nephew, or step-nephew, but Linda's nephew, was going to school to Old Dominion to be a history teacher, and he quit because of what they were forcing him to teach. And he said, I won't do it.
No way.
I'm not going to do it. And so, they're taking the Bible out of school, they're no longer teaching history, and so now you can fill them with whatever you want these kids you want them to have and indoctrinate them, and that's what's going on. Now, watch this. They're not learning simple things like the value of hard work. And the biggest of all is the power of a thankful spirit. So here we are with a thankful spirit. I can tell just as good when I'm talking to someone if they have a thankful spirit. I can tell it, I can sense it. And there's something very powerful about a thankful spirit, and that's why it's not even being taught, even being pushed anymore. When the average parent spends less than a couple of minutes a day talking to their child, then they're getting their indoctrination from crazy mess, TikTok, and from some of the mess at school. But you know what? If you can learn the power of a grateful attitude. A grateful attitude has a lot of effects on the brain. I mean, a lot of effects on the brain. It boosts the immune system. It reduces stress. It reduces anxiety. It reduces depression. It promotes optimism and positivity. It helps create and strengthen relationships. It reduces chronic pain. It improves overall sleep. It keeps us grounded in reality. It promotes exercise and healthy habits, and improves our overall self-esteem. That's just having a thankful spirit. That's powerful. That's such a powerful list. And if you see what's going on around us today, a lot of that stuff is missing in a lot of lives because of the lack of a thankful spirit. So let me just go a little bit further here. We just read this story. Steps to Thanksgiving, we read the story about these lepers. As we read the story about the lepers, these lepers, there's 10 lepers, now you got to understand something. These 10 lepers, they had to keep themselves 20 foot, 30 foot, depending on where they were at in the jurisdiction, but they could not come with them so close to people that did not have leprosy. When the Bible tells us that our unrighteousness is as filthy rags. Part of that filthy rags is actually talking about the rags. When you see filthy rags, the rags that were on the gates of the city, that before a leper could come into a city, they had to wipe their sores on this rag before they came in the city. And this is the filthy rags when God says, your own righteousness, what you do on your own, is no more than those filthy rags. Wow. Y'all say wow.
Wow.
Wow, that's powerful. Wow. And so they're coming in, they see Jesus, and yourself to the priest. I'm going to explain this in a minute why. Go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Y'all say cleansed.
Cleansed.
Cleansed. Remember that word, cleansed.
Cleansed.
All right. And so now, they go on their way. But then one goes, wait a minute. I'm cleansed. Now, the first part of thankfulness, if you're going to regain a thankful attitude, if you're going to let God help you reintroduce your own self to a thankful spirit, number one, there they are. They running to the priest. They having a good old time. And one turns around. The first thing you got to do in this busy world where we have very little time to do anything. It's like every time, you know, I'm trying to read something. As I'm trying to read something, really read it good, an instruction, or read something in the Bible, really trying to dig into it. It seems like every time I get ready to dig into something and I'm really studying, then distractions come from everywhere. Or I've got my day planned out, and as my day's planned out, my day had 5 items on that day. Before that day's over with, there's 10 items. And the 5 I had planned for took up so much time that the 5 items I did have planned for really didn't get all the time they deserve. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not just me, it's y'all too. It's the world we live in. And so when God does do something for us so many times, maybe if we say it, so thank you, Lord, keep on going. Isn't that what the 9 did? Thank you, Lord, keep on going.
Thank you, Lord. See,
but one stopped. The very first part of regaining that thankful spirit is the ability to stop. It's so simple, but yet so complicated. Everybody in here can stop. Not ask you to build a skyscraper. Not ask you to work on electronic equipment. Not ask you to figure out some kind of mathematical equation. Simply, if you want to rebuild the thankful spirit, when you see God move or see somebody else move on God's behalf for you, is stop. Just stop. Now, let me just go a little bit further on this. Step one, stop. You see, stopping is the first step to rebuilding, to regaining, to getting in your spirit how to be really thankful. You see, leprosy in that day was the AIDS of the first century. That's what it was. It was the AIDS of the first century, and it was highly contagious. And it could be caught merely by touch. That's why they had to stay, you know, 10, 20, 30 foot, so many yards from everybody. And they had to holler, unclean. Unclean. And remember, just coming into the city, they had to wipe their sores off to give them even the opportunity to come in because it was so contagious. And since there was no antidote, leprosy was spread throughout the body, slowly but surely progressing until one died. You would lose parts. In many ways, the way you lose parts is you lost feeling. Your nerves just died. And as your nerves died, either a lot of times they just rotted off. Not only did they rot off, listen carefully, because they could not be where regular people were, because they were using leper colonies, and they were in caves and other places. Rodents, while they slept, rodents would eat the decaying part off. And they couldn't feel it. So think about this thing. Here's these guys. There's really, think about what they're going through. They've lost fingers. They may have lost a nose. They could have lost an ear. Any extremity. And not only is it tearing them from the outside to the inside, but rodents are having a heyday on this person until one day they just die. Because of the horrific nature of this disease and the death it brought, To have it, as they believed, meant that the victim had met a horrifying judgment of God. Because leprosy, many times in the Bible, represents sin. And so to have leprosy, you were just a poor sinner, and you just, there's no hope for you. You were gone. So see these lepers coming up on crutches, bandages everywhere, they stunk. Pieces falling off of them all over the place. Rodents having a heyday with them. And they holler from afar off because they even couldn't even get close to Jesus. Jesus, have mercy! And because it was considered to be spiritual or of a spiritual origin of the disease, the priests were the ones that declared them healed. So he said, go show yourself to the priest. So, the very first thing, again, is you gotta stop. You see, when Jesus healed those lepers, he wasn't just offering them a Kleenex for a runny nose. It's amazing how when it's on something, it's on us, it's major surgery, and it's on somebody else, it's minor surgery. It's also amazing how we can talk about how bad it is, but once God heals us, we're thinking, well, we dodged that bullet, and keep on going. He wasn't just offering them a Kleenex, he was offering them life. You see, he literally changed them, saved them, and spared their lives. And what was their response? They just walked on and showed themselves to the priest. That's it. But one leper was different. He came back to Jesus. Why? Because he went through that very first step of thanksgiving. And rebuilding it in us is how to stop. To stop. I know we're busy. I know we got a lot of things to do. I know we got a lot of places to be. But if we could give God just a few minutes of our day, I don't have time! I'm going to bust some bubbles right now. We've all got the same time, 24 hours a day. People used to tell me all the time, did you read that book? You come to me, your marriage falling apart. Did you read that book? I didn't have time, Pastor. I don't even take that anymore. Nope. You didn't make time. Did you put that medicine? I didn't have time. No, you didn't make time. I've had people before, didn't have time to read the book, but I saw them when I had to ride through the parking lot as they're going into the movies, or I happen to see them in Walmart, or I happen to see them in the park, or see them somewhere, and I go, you know, so you didn't have time to read that short book that could really be dynamic and be helpful and change your attitude towards your marriage. Yes, we're busy. Yes, there's a lot to do. Many times we overfill our schedules. We do it. Either by we do it personally or we just can't say no. But the next time God does something for you, push the book aside. Push the appointment book aside for just a minute. Push the phone aside. Turn it off for just 5 minutes. Just five. And stop and say, God, I just want to thank you. Not a ride-by, not a drive-by, not a, I'll thank you when I get back home, God. 5 minutes. Just five. And say, God, I just got to stop. Just got to stop because of what you did for me. So number one is stop. You'll figure this out when I get to the next one. since I was a little bitty boy, I took for granted we'd always be talking about the pilgrims. We'd always be talking about the turkeys. We'd always be talking about the Mayflower. We'd always be talking about the Declaration of Independence. We'd be talking about, I just took it for granted. And now all that stuff, they're trying to get rid of all of it. Every bit of it. They're rewriting and changing history. Every bit of it. Next time God does something for you, stop at least 5 minutes. Nothing around you. You know, when the Bible says that the Jews went in their prayer closet, they had a prayer shawl. And the way the prayer closet was, they took their prayer shawl, and wherever they stopped, they would stop wherever they were at, take their prayer shawl and throw it over their head so they wouldn't be distracted. If you saw them with the shawl over their head, you knew they were praying. Through the shawl over your head, your prayer closet, so you wouldn't be seeing everybody going around you and all the stuff going on, so you could spend time with God alone. It's so important with a thankful spirit. We might not have a prayer shawl on, but maybe just symbolically reach back and pull it over and hold your head down and put your hands up and say, thank you, God. That was a close call. You saved me, and I thank you for that. I thank you for what you did for me. So, let's move on. Step number two. Look at that. That's some tough looking stuff. Everybody's amazed because Jesus is touching the lepers. Nobody would touch them. Can you imagine having a life where nobody even wanted to touch you? They thought you were so filthy and so nasty they didn't even want to touch you. Wouldn't it be something? Nobody! The second thing, stop and look. Stop and look. She says, look what happened. You see, he stopped. They were so busy running. While they're running, they go, yeah, we're pleased. And they were happy, and they were running. But he stopped, because when he saw what had happened and saw that he was cleansed, wow, that's a very powerful thing in his life. Didn't everybody else experience the same thing? Of course they all experienced the same thing. But what's the difference? We're getting ready to show you something. What's the difference is they didn't stop. They just went on having a good old time. I talked to somebody who got cancer. They just received cancer. Just got the news they got cancer just this week. And they said, until now, I really hadn't give God all the glory. I really hadn't been speaking to him like I should. When they told me what I had and to what extent, after I got over the shock, the very first place I went was to God. I don't want to get cancer to get me to stop. I don't want to lose anybody else to get me to stop. I don't want whatever happened for me, in order for me not to get me, but in order for me to stop. I want to stop now when God's doing something for me. I wait until it's got so bad that now I've got to stop. I just stop. So now, stop. Look at what God's done for you. There he is. And then listen. Stop, look, and listen. I knew you could catch on to that. Stop, look, and listen. Because now, as we listen, you see, when the Samaritan leper was healed, after he stopped and he looked, he ran to Jesus. Why? I'm glad you asked. Having experienced that physical healing, he was running back to Jesus to hear more. Not only to thank him, but to hear more about his grace and his love and the new life that Jesus was offering him. Here it is, pretty simple. Stop, look, and listen. These are the first three steps to Thanksgiving. What is the last one? It's simple. Just thank God. Remember Jesus' words to the Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all of the team cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was not one found to return to give praise to God except for this foreigner? He was a Samaritan. to do with them, the Samaritans. They were crossbreeds. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. They were considered dogs. One of the very first miracles Jesus did was he went into Samaria. He was breaking all these cultural boundaries and all these cultural barriers. It's amazing what Jesus did, the greatest liberator of all. And so we see this Samaritan. I like to think about it this way. The Samaritan was considered a dog. He was considered the least in society. Next to being a leper, and going to add that in there too. But he's about to receive the most. I'm going to do this, and we're all going to get involved. We're all going to pray. When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Y'all say cleansed.
Cleansed.
All right, let's stop right there for a minute. That word cleansed means healed. But you got to remember, if a leper received healing, but he didn't show himself to the priest, there would still be scars. He may have lost fingers. He may have lost an eye. He may have lost a lip. He may have had his nose chewed off by the rats. He may have lost his ear. He may have had one leg. He may have had no legs. He may have lost an arm. But once he was healed and proved that there was a healing, he no longer stank. The scars were there, but the sores had healed up. Then he could be declared clean and go back into society. This, I have found, is a biggie. There's been a lot of people over the years that I've ministered to, through the hospital as a chaplain, through pastoring, through ministry to the jail, whatever. These people that I go see all the time. There's a many a person that they have felt the healing power of Jesus, but they've lost the power of a thankful spirit, and they still have the scars. You try to talk to them. They're thanking God for salvation, but at the same time, they're busy pulling back bandages and showing you, look at how I got hurt. Look at what happened to me. Look at this. Look at what they did to me. And although they're saved, and although Jesus has touched their lives, they're still full of scars. It is evident by the way they talk. Because their conversations always wind up going back to them scars. Scars has twofold, actually. Scars show where you were sick, but it also shows at the point where you were healed. But still, there's a lot of people in this land that Jesus has touched them, but they can't let it go. They've been healed. They've been cleansed. That's as far as it is. Let's look a little bit further here. And then we're all going to get in on this. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but were there 9? They're not found, they returned to give glory to God, save the stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Y'all say whole.
Whole.
The 9. Well, actually, the 10 were healed. All 10 were healed. They were cleansed. But they all still had scars. When they went to the priest, if they had a leg that was gone, that leg was still gone. They limped to the priest. If their eyes were gone, somebody had to hold him by the hand and get him, because the leprosy was gone, but the scars remained. But the whole Greek changes now. Because now it says whole is restored. Cleansed, you still can have mental issues, you can still have hurt issues, you can still carry those wounds so deep and so hard. But one had a thankful spirit. He was whole, he was restored. Can you imagine if he had lost fingers, but he thanked Jesus, the fingers came back. If he had lost an arm, as he thanked Jesus, the other arm came back. Wow. It's very powerful. Scars were healed. My challenge to us today, there's a lot of us, including myself, I've done this myself. You hear a certain name, or you hear a certain person, or you see certain people, or you think about a certain event, and all of a sudden, all you can think about is the scars. Look what they did to me. I'd be better off if they hadn't done this. You see the way I am now because look what they done to me. You're cleansed, but you're not restored. And it's so simple. Stop, look, and listen. Get that thankful spirit back. Get that thankful spirit. That day, the Samaritan, the least of all of them, even if he had, listen, even after he was healed, he was still a Samaritan. God restored him for that thankful spirit. Let's practice this right now. Here's what we're going to do. Words are going to come up there. I want y'all to watch it. And I'm going to read like this here. Let's see. Step one, stop. Stop everything. Stop the rat race. The swirl in your head. The planning. The wonder about your Thanksgiving dinner. Your Christmas dinner. You get all that out of your mind. You got to get it out of your mind. All right? You got to stop. Okay? After you stop, step two, you got to look. Let's look to see what God has done in your life. And as you look in your life, what things are you thankful for? Say, well, I got my job myself. Really? You don't think God has something to do with it? God needed you for that job in order that you could touch somebody on that job. And then you could be, your family could be taken care of by that job. Well, my family doesn't have all those problems. Well, did you know that God put you in that family? It's not a mistake. God didn't go to start drawing out of a hat and giving people. He puts you where you are so that you can affect those around you. Then listen. What is it that God wants you to hear about this plan? His goodness. And his love. So here we go. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. Y'all get ready. Y'all get ready to shout now. Y'all ready to do some shouting and getting with it? Let's see here. Well, of course, step four, I forgot about that. Step four, let's thank God for all he's done, what he will do, and in your life. So here it goes. Ready? Now we're going to get there. All right, ready? I'm going to read the first line. And you're going to read the second. Wait a minute. I want you to read that next line. Dear God, I want to thank you for what you've already done. Ready? Oh, ready? Here it is. I'm going to read the first. You're going to read the second. All you got to say is I'm thanking you right now. But I want you to really thank him. Ready? I'm not going to wait until I see results or receive rewards.
I'm thanking you right now.
I'm not going to wait until I feel better or things look better.
I'm thanking you right now.
I'm not going to wait until people say that they're sorry or until they stop talking about me.
I'm thanking you right now.
I'm not going to wait until the pain in my body disappears.
I'm thanking you right now.
That's good. Y'all getting good. Ready? I'm not going to wait until my financial situation improves.
I'm going to thank you right now.
I'm not going to wait until the children are asleep and the house is quiet.
I'm going to thank you right now.
I'm not going to wait until I get promoted or until I get that job.
I'm going to thank you right now.
able to understand every experience in my life that has caused me pain or grief.
Thank you right now.
I'm not going to wait until the journey gets easier or the challenges are removed.
Thank you right now.
Y'all getting good. I'll go back and do that one again. But I won't. Y'all can say I'm thanking you for that, right?
Thank you.
Say at the same time. That means we all talk at the same time. Ready? Because we're all saying the same thing. I'm thanking you because I'm alive. I'm thanking you because I made it through the day's difficulties. I'm thanking you because I have walked through the obstacles. I'm thanking you because I have the ability and the opportunity to do more and to do better. I'm thanking you because you have not given up on me. I really do it again. I thank you because you have not given up on me. God, thank you for being so good to me. Continue to enable me to stop, look, and listen. And thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody go ahead and put your hands together. That's awesome. All right, get ready to close. So we're going to praise God. Thank you, God. All right. Here's that. When you stop, sometimes just stop. Just stop. Nothing may have happened so far today, but just stop. You want to really, 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 really get into God's heart. And sometimes nothing has happened at all so far that day, but you just stop. And said, Dad, I just want to thank you, God, for the gift of life. No request, no complaints, just thankful to be alive. Wow. Let's say that together. Today, I just want to thank God for the gift of life. No requests, no complaints, just thankful to be alive. Here's this week's assignment, okay? In any situation you find yourself this week, I want you to try a thankful attitude and thankful actions first. So watch this. I should have put it up there, and I didn't. But if you got a pencil, piece of paper, you'll write this down. When I have a thankful action, here's what happens. You'll write this down. It changes the way I enter my trials. It changes the way I enter my trials. Number two, it changes the way I endure my trials. It changes the way I enter my trials. It changes the way I endure my trials. And it also changes the way I exit my trials. Wow. Be thankful. Brandon, can you come up here and play something, bro? Just be thankful. Wow. That one leper. From this day. day forward. I want you to think about those 10 lepers. All were healed, but one was cleansed. One was cleansed, but one was made whole. All 10 cleansed, one made whole. Don't be so busy making a life that you forget the one who gave you life. Our God is awesome. And He deserves our thanksgiving. Even in the bad times, He deserves our thanksgiving. Because even in the bad times, you're thinking, God, I can't get any worse than this. Really? You ought to see what it was going to be like before He stopped it. He knew just how much you could endure. And He let it be just beyond what you could endure. These people tell you God's not letting anything happen to you more than what you can handle. Fooey, 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 fooey. God always gives us more than we can handle. Allows more than we can handle. That way we have to trust Him. But He gives you just enough not to break you to where you don't want to trust Him, but just enough where you have to trust Him to get through it. In the days of Procter & Gamble and even at the fountain, they'd say, man, you are an awesome troubleshooter. Man, you're just dynamic. And I go, well, there's two things to that. Number one is preparation, and I've been trained, but the biggest preparation of all is I pray. Before I lay my hands on anything, I pray. And I say, God, help me. Show me the problem. Help me see it. You use me. You use my skill. Instead of, I'm not letting them use my skill, I'm letting you work through me and through my skill. And God, show me. Show me. Show me. And I do that to this day. God, show me. Show me. Show me. And then when He does, I say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is awesome. And I promise you this week, if you step up that thankful spirit, and I'm not trying to say you don't have one, but if you step it up, it's going to change the way you enter your trials, the way you endure your trials, and the way you exit that trial. God's got you. Don't say God's got you.
God's got you.
God's got you. Don't say God's got me.
God's got me.
Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I've been missing out on that thankful spirit. I've been letting everything around me happen so quick that I've been forgetting to stop and thank you. Sometimes I think we're allowed to see some of these people going around not being thankful and running over you and just act like you're in their way just so you can understand. Not to say, God, I thank you, I'm not like them, because that'd be terrible. It'd be like the Pharisee talking about the publican. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you see that, that it reminds you to be more thankful. To be more generous. To be more polite. Instead of dishing it back out to them. Show them something. Show them. Show them. Show them what politeness is. Show them what a thankful spirit is. And that can be the simplest way. You don't have to even preach a sermon out of your mouth. It can just be out of your hands. Out of your actions. You can preach the greatest sermon to some people. If you're here today, and you let that thank the Spirit kind of slim through your hands. But nobody's looking. Every eye's closed. Every head bowed. Would you put that hand up and say, Pastor, I have to admit, I've kind of let the thankful Spirit kind of slip away. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you've actually, because of that, have seen your relationship with God kind of slip away too. And you're ready for God to take first place back in your life. While I'm speaking this, when nobody's looking around here, right close, would you put that hand up? I'm ready for God to get first place again. Bless the Lord. Bless them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you.
We thank you.
We're not good. Father, we thank you. Not for anything you've done, but who you are. And we thank you, God, that you've always taken care of us. We didn't always understand it. But we thank you for never giving up on us. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing right now. Help us to have grateful hearts, a grateful spirit. Help us, Lord, especially now in all this hustle, to show kindness and thankfulness and a good spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get to the Lord's Prayer, Brother Wayne, will you dismiss us in prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Dear God, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be able to thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings of life. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our family, Lord, for the help that you bestow upon us, Lord. We want to say thank you for everything, Lord, that you do for us and continue to ask you to be with us, Lord, and when we're not thankful for it, Lord, we ask you to remind us that if it wasn't for you, we'd have nothing. We'd have nothing at all in this world, Lord. Go with us now, Lord, and let us depart from the shoulders and spread thy word, Father, to those that need to hear this. This and all things I ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ. And to this I do say amen and amen.
Amen.